All right. We're still trying to suss out what's happening with our board. It might be restored, but I'm going to go to the next selection on this wonderful guitar music. Here we go. Ooh, that's loud. Okay, let's see. I think we're sort of on track now, and I don't know if any of you are watching the proceedings in Washington, D.C. It's pretty interesting, actually. If you were teaching any kind of history or civics class, it's, classic. I think the lesson of how to present things in a clear and precise manner, no matter what side you're on, it's pretty fascinating. So anyway, I find it interesting. So we were listening to Aaron Larjet Kaplan. He is somebody that's going to be performing at a Medford venue. It's the theater in Medford, and it's escaping my mind. Wait a minute, let me get the information. And of course, it's all the way over there. My friend Sue O'Claire has hooked me up with this artist and given me a few of his CDs, and he's going to hopefully be making an appearance on the Voicemobile. Very talented. So, the Regent Theater, there we go. He's going to be performing Friday, February 7th at 8 o'clock with a classical Spanish music and flamenco dance ensemble. It sounds like it's going to be an absolutely fabulous show. You have Conja Bali Icante, Aaron Lajet Kaplan on guitar and director, and Stephen Marotto on cello. Concert is at 8 o'clock. There's VIP and group seating ticketing available, beer and wine available for purchase. So if you like a combination of classical and Spanish guitar with dance, this is going to be an excellent show, an early Valentine's Day present to yourself or whoever. So hopefully he'll be coming on just prior to that Wednesday prior. And this is a CD that he has done on John Cage guitar. That's what it's called. So I'm just going to listen to another selection from this. I think it's so beautiful. All right. WMFO Medford, I think we did say that. This is The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. Glad to be here. I've been a little bit preoccupied. I'm making a trip, which I haven't done for quite a while, except to visit my mom in upstate New York. But I'm actually going to the city, and it's a whole big deal for me, getting everything organized and trying to get onto the Uber site and, doing the registration and, It's new. I haven't done it for almost 20 years. I haven't visited this city, so I'm really excited. One of my great, great dear friends and teachers from Israel, Rav Avraham Sutton, who has been here on the show a long, long time ago, is going to be presenting at a Kabbalah workshop on Sunday, which I'm going to attend. He's also going to be at the Karl Bach Shul over the weekend, so I'm really, really looking forward to spending time with he and his wife and reconnecting with some of the folks down there in the city. So hopefully it'll all go smoothly. I'm taking a megabus, and we'll see how it all, it all works out. So that's interesting. I thought that would go. Oh, it did go away. Okay, good. So let's hear one more selection from this. So just another one, but oh, the sound is just so sweet. I'm going to keep going. Yes. Sweet. I just don't even want to stop. All right, here's a nice long one. It gives me a chance to get cut up. If you go to our website, we log in everything that we play so that you can check it out, maybe purchase it if you like. And, so that's interesting. This is not right. This should be, he should have been logged out of his account, which I guess he wasn't. Log out of. That's because I didn't log in. Okay, all these little things to do. All right, we'll get it set. Okay. Okay, so I want to share with you something from this wonderful site, Israel 21st Century, 21C. Israeli device freezes malignant liver and kidney tumors. U.S. doctors already use IceCure's ProSense to destroy benign breast lumps. Soon they'll be using it for malignant liver and kidney tumors. This is an article on their site by Abigail Klein Leachman, January 22nd, this morning. So hot off the presses. In July 2012, Israel 21st Century wrote about a novel device from Caesarea-based Ice Cure Medical that was revolutionizing how American doctors remove benign breast lumps. The device uses minimally invasive cryoablation to destroy the tumor by freezing it rather than surgically removing it. Boy, I wish they'd had that when I needed that. Since then, IceCure's ProSense system has expanded its applications dramatically. The device currently is used in Asia, Israel, and Europe to zap early-stage cancerous liver and kidney tumors. IceCure recently received U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, approval to do the same in the United States. Just how soon ProSense will be available in U.S. treatment centers for the two new applications is hard to say. Where are we here? IceCure Medical Vice President of Business Development and Global Marketing, Talit Bousseltel-Tzur, tells Israel 21st Century that the insurance reimbursement codes are in place for both indications. Now, the public company is beginning to build the right infrastructure to start our commercial phase for these indications in America from its New Jersey branch office. So exciting. The mission is treating more patients. Meantime, IceCure's ProSense device is being used in Europe for breast, kidney, lung, and bone cancer. And more than 300 lung cancer patients and 300 breast cancer patients have been treated with ProSense in Japan. In Israel, we are performing a clinical trial for Kidney Center and B'nai Zion Medical Center in Haifa. We have treated about 100 patients with very promising results. We hope in the coming year to finalize this study and publish our results, says Tzur. We have also started registration in China and already have our first order from a leading Chinese hospital to do an independent study for breast cancer. Well, my sister is a breast cancer survivor, and I had lumps. I had to have lumpectomies, and it was not at all pleasant. This is a much better route to go. IceCure is working toward gaining FDA approval for using ProSense to treat cancerous breast tumors. The end of 2014, we started a landmark study in the United States using our technology to treat early diagnosed breast cancer with cryoablation instead of surgery, says Talazur. The trial is now in 19 centers, and at the end of 2019, we finished enrollment of 200 patients. We will follow up for 5 years to see if there has been no reoccurrence of the tumor at the area that was treated. Only then can we apply to the FDA for approval for the breast cancer indication. It will be a major breakthrough when that happens. How fabulous. In October last year, the American Association of Breast Surgeons adapted its guidelines based on IceCure's clinical trial results, supporting, quote, accelerated investigations of cryoablation technology for treatment of malignant breast tumors, unquote. IceCure has also received FDA approval for ear, nose, and throat applications. This is not yet an active focus, but could be in the future. The world wants to use our innovation to treat more patients, so this is our mission, says Talazur. How ProSense works. This is fascinating. IceCure was co-founded in 2006 by cryogenics expert Dr. Alex Levin and businessman Didier Tubia, now co-founder and CEO of cultivated meat startup Aleph Farms in the Nyot Venture Accelerator in Yokneam. The cryoablation device they developed is based on a technology Levin patented in 2002. The physician inserts a ProSense probe into the tumor. There are different ones corresponding to the size and shape of the mass guided by ultrasound or CT imaging. Once the needle is inside, the probe tip's temperature is lowered with liquid nitrogen to minus 170 degrees Celsius in less than a minute. Within an hour, the extreme cold destroys the target tissue, which dissolves out of the body naturally in a few weeks. This procedure is done under local anesthesia, no matter where the tumor is located. The surrounding healthy tissue is not damaged and there is no scarring. Afterward, the patient can go right home and resume full activity. That's fabulous. There are several limitations on this groundbreaking treatment. It cannot treat multiple tumors and is only for early stage, stage 1 or 2 tumors, confined to no more than 1.5 centimeters in the breast or up to 3 centimeters in the liver, kidney, or bone. With early screening, the number of tumors being found at this stage is growing all the time, says Teltschur. It is important to mention that our technology does not replace chemotherapy or radiation therapy. Depending on the patient, the care team may want to follow up with those therapies. I just think that is so absolutely fabulous. So, You know, people are doing all kinds of things to isolate Israel. Meanwhile, so many good things medically are coming out of Israel. And I'll tell you in a little bit, we'll look at another story from here about things that they're doing. Well, I might even just, let's see, maybe I'll go to it now. How new Israeli aid group assists fire victims in Australia. All right, we'll go to that next, but let's, we're going to do some more music from Aaron Lajet Kaplan, and this is from The Legend of Hagoromo. And this is, we'll just have a listen. Okay, the legend of Hagoromo by Aaron Largette Kaplan on the beautiful, beautiful guitar. American and Japanese Music for Classical Guitar. That's what this CD is called. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit of the liner notes about that particular composition. Put my glasses on here. Kaigo Fuji, born 1956 in Hokkaido, Japan. He's the composer of that piece. Started playing the guitar when he was 9 years old. At 15, he started writing a piece of music each day instead of a diary. He studied in England and Spain at the Guildhall School of Music and the Oscar Espla National Conservatory. Fuji studied composition under Carly Blyton and guitar with David Russell, for whom the legend of Hagoromo is dedicated, and Ichiro Okamoto. Fuji lives in Kyoto, Japan, where he teaches composition at Osaka College of Music. So he's got other composers on this. So let's see, it says something about the legend itself. Found in variation throughout Asia, the legend of Hagoromo describes a young fisherman falling in love with a heavenly maiden who can fly when she wears her magical feathered kimono. That's the Hagoromo. Ah. Wanting to prevent her from leaving him, he steals and hides her Hagoromo while she bathes under the autumn full moon. After a time and unable to go home to the immortal world, she returns his love, and they have a child together. While walking her young son, the boy sings a lullaby whose words describe where the Hagoromo is hidden. Donning it and robed in the blue of heaven, she ascends again. But she cries in sadness, for she cannot bring her husband and son along. Lovesick and lonely as well, her husband plants the seed of a moonflower for her, and as her tears water it from the world above, it grows into the heavens. This is so beautiful, allowing the fisherman to climb up and join her, her tears becoming a rainbow. That is so beautiful. Based on a 16-bar song in the traditional Okinawan mode by Hiroshi Yamanoha, who died in 1991, about the Hagoromo legend, Keiji Fuji does not adhere strictly to the mode and incorporates many extended techniques and effects to create one of the 20th century's great masterpieces. I would agree. It's absolutely beautiful. Thanks to Sue Eau Claire for bringing this artist to my attention, and hopefully he will be in the studio playing his guitar live for us. That'll be just before his performance at the Regent Theater in Medford, and that concert again is on Friday, February 7th. At 8 o'clock with singer and dancer La Conja and cellist Stephen Maroto. So you can get tickets if you go to the regenttheater.com, or you can call 781-646-4849. You can also get student tickets with an ID. Wow. Okay, so this is for Rules of Gun Safety. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. Well, they don't have rule 4. That's interesting. They go from 0 to 3. Public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, there have been, unfortunately, way too many accidents of young children getting into unlocked guns in homes. Should not happen. That should absolutely not happen. All right, so I'm going to share with you a little bit more from that. Oh, let's see. Didn't quite do that right. From the Israel 21st Century site. Let me go back there. Okay. New Israeli aid group assists fire victims in Australia. Of course, we've seen the pictures. Ah, just absolutely horrific. Smart Aid has quietly been bringing technology to disaster sites in the Bahamas, Mozambique, Puerto Rico, Indonesia, and northern Iraq for 3 years. Let me just go back to that. Okay. And it says a team of 9 Israeli and 2 Australian volunteers with Smart Aid were among the first to enter Australia's Kangaroo Island 2 days ago to help locals affected by ongoing wildfires. The wildfires which hit Kangaroo Island looks like a scene from an apocalypse movie. The team drives through the fire trail in Kangaroo Island with burned trees, some still on fire. The earth is black and smoke fills the air, reported Smart Aid Global Goodwill Ambassador Althea Gould. The Smart Aid team is working alongside the Australian Army, firefighters, and local nonprofit partner Blaze Aid to clear the rubble of burned homes, help open access routes, and assist farmers in rebuilding their livelihood. We are here shoulder to shoulder helping our Australian friends who lost everything to the fire, says Gold. Smart Aid, formerly called iAid, has been operating quietly for the past 3 years since it was co-founded by Shahar Sahavi. He previously founded and headed global humanitarian aid organization Israel Aid. We reported on iAid assistance following natural disasters in Mexico, Texas, and Peru, often alongside other Israeli humanitarian aid groups. The international not-for-profit aid agency has been renamed Smart Aid to reflect its unique focus on harnessing the power of innovation and technology to save lives, alleviate suffering, and empower communities. Based in Israel, Smart Aid has branch offices in Australia and United States, and soon in Europe. In the humanitarian aid field today, there is a slow shift from traditional forms of aid to more technological aid and innovative solutions, Sahavi tells Israel 21st Century, explaining why, as a serial social entrepreneur, he took the lead in forming Smart Aid. International aid organizations are slowly entering this tech scene with food, clean water, clean energy, ag tech, and fintech solutions. Our idea of financial tech solutions. Our idea is that the startup nation is the obvious place from which to offer Israeli aid and Jewish know-how from Israel and globally. The added value we bring is innovation in disaster settings and long-term programs. This is accomplished in collaboration with entrepreneurs, startups, manufacturers, impact investors, local governments, donors, and academics. Smart Aid brings in low and high-tech solutions adapted to local needs in cooperation with local partners, Sahavi explains. It could be anything from solar panels to water storage, he says. In the Bahamas, we partner with a local group, Head Knowles, and establish a coordination center where we put in telecommunications infrastructure to help aid agencies working across the island after Hurricane Dorian. So it goes on quite a bit. Well, not so much. Let's see. Smart Aid also brought clean water solutions, hygiene packs, and solar lights from Little Sun to people displaced by Dorian. In Mozambique, following a March cyclone that also brought Israel aid to help victims, Smart Aid worked with local partners, including Miracle Missions, to deliver solar lights from a South African company. Smart Aid also has responded to natural disasters in Indonesia, Puerto Rico, and northern Iraq. Sahavi says his organization office in Australia coordinated its response to the fires. Many of the Israeli volunteers were already in the country on backpacking trips. Some are trained already and some are being trained on the ground, he said. We deployed our volunteers about 2 days ago when Kangaroo Island was open to aid groups. It is a difficult location to access. We did an evaluation and are in the process of developing our program there in the 3 areas we have been asked to focus on. We are trying to see what local resources and technologies can be provided to help affected communities. Funding for Smart Aid's mission at Kangaroo Island is from Australian donors and from the Tel Aviv-based Ted Aronson Family Foundation. Other Israeli groups helping fire victims in Australia include the Jerusalem Biblical Zoo, which launched a fundraising campaign to buy veterinary supplies for volunteers treating wounded animals, and the Gangaru Australian Park in northern Israel, which is donating part of all ticket sales toward Australian relief efforts and plans to send a veterinary team to assist injured kangaroos. It's wonderful. So I'm finding all this from this wonderful site, Israel 21st Century. And, you know, like I say, those people who want to isolate Israel, Israel does so much good in the world. It's really, I mean, you're not really getting the full story if you only think that. So, let's see, where do we want to go now? I have one more from Aaron Leggett Kaplan, and I think I'm just going to share that with us. So, we're WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. And let's see, we'll do... We'll do this one.
Thank you.